special on Saturday, September 24th. The meet will feature a stakes every Saturday and Sunday afternoon. And racing fans, the meet will also feature an on-track live money handicapping contest on Saturday, September 24th. You could win a berth to the 2022 NHC. And racing fans, the best of night racing continues at Los Alamitos every Saturday and Sunday night. Outstanding racing action is in store this weekend with stakes trials highlighting the racing card. Plus, our nighttime $2 pick six continues to be a popular wager. If there's not a carryover going into our Sunday night program, Los Alamitos will add $10,000 to the pick six pool. That's more money for the horse players to win. The best of racing, the best of nighttime quarter horse racing, always at Los Alamitos. Remember, daytime thoroughbred racing returns on Friday, September 16th.
Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Ponds family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Get your career in horse racing off to a fast start. Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Leader Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
At the races with Steve Bick. Racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back. And we're into hour three, about it's 25 minutes in, and the morning's predictably just flown by. I wanted to get Hammer in for a couple of minutes. We only have a couple of minutes with him, but wanted to get an update after the weekend. Certainly Saturday, the weather stayed away for the most part, and then on Sunday we could not avoid the weather and the cancellation after two yesterday, but those races coming back tomorrow. Hammer, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you? Yes, Sundays have not been kind to us here this year.
That's a good point. First one we had moved. I didn't realize. That's right.
Yeah, the first one we moved to Monday, and then so you're right. We got two races in yesterday, and we had that first shower, and then it just kept going, and you get to a point where if you're not going to make the card, there's no use digging up the course, and the weather looks like it's going to be here, you know, good for the next couple of days. So, you know, did the right thing. And so actually, we're going to run the remaining nine races tomorrow, but they'll be renumbered. So 3 through 11 will now be 1 through 9 on tomorrow's card, but we didn't redraw. We didn't do anything like that. So all the numbers will stay the same. All the horses will stay the same. In the right order, and that'll be tomorrow, and then we'll carry through with the Wednesday's card as planned.
Perfect. And weather now completely a non-issue. It is going to be glorious virtually every single day this week. 80s, sunny, dry, perfect. So nine race card tomorrow. What time you start tomorrow?
Same regular time, 12:25. for Tuesday and Wednesday. And like you said, the weather's good. We actually opened up training this morning, let some of the horses stretch their legs that were going to run, and it was packed out there. And so, you know what? Everyone rolls with the punches here pretty good. You don't get too many complainers, and guess what? You just move it, and there's nothing you can do. Can't run it, you know, you can't chew up the course, and it's got to be safe. So we roll, and we'll be running Tuesday and Wednesday to get our 7 days in.
Well, and we should mention a couple of things, Rick, and obviously I'll be back there Wednesday for the last session, records fell on Saturday, over 21 million?
Over 21 million, over half a million on site, and it was, you were here, it was just a great day of racing. And it's great when you say, when you're giving away, when you're running $1 million races, it kind of keeps the, it keeps the edge up a little bit. And so we were happy with that. And like you said, the day went perfect. And we had two Breeders' Cup winning your in races. So those two, Brand and Red Knight will go ahead and got their ticket punched in the Breeders' Cup and just had some really, really nice racing. And, you know, we had a couple races that were elevated to $1 million status because they had a grade one winner in them. Actually both those horses won, right? The Lika and Campanile, who were grade one winners and made those purses $1 million. But ironically, every $1 million race was won by a non-Kentucky bred. So they
saw that.
You know, they the pot was $550, so not too bad. But it's just ironic that that's the way it came down.
It's funny. This morning, I when I was doing the figures, and I'll put it up on Twitter in a little bit. But Campanile, Irish bred, and Delica, German bred, Bran, French bred. Some like it hot, brown, New York bred.
And I think Red Knight was New York bred. So good. Two New York breds got the dough. So that's pretty cool. Both of them, Mike Maker. So he's been having just a great meet here. You know, he fires and he can take a couple weeks off after this meet if he'd like, but he won't.
Yeah, I mean, and it's not like he's, you know, honestly, Rick, it's not like he's throwing in the kitchen sink. I mean, it might feel like that just by the sheer number, but, every time you come across a Maker, you handicap, look at them, and they feel like they're a fit way more often than not.
Well, absolutely, and he's one of those guys that points to the meet, and why wouldn't you if you, you know, he's... He probably runs more on grass anyway, so why not, the book comes out well in advance, and let's just point for all these races. Why not run for as much as you can and then run again in a couple weeks? But he has been doing very well, and he's such a low-key guy who's out this morning, you know, just the same as ever, just watching his horses go train on the track. So it was actually very chilly this morning. I was bundled up. They were giving me a little, the guy from California over there with the jacket on, but it was a little chilly this morning, but it's warmed up, and like you said, it's going to be nice for the next couple of days. So you'll be back, and we just expect to finish off here. This has been a long meet, and it's just because of all the changes, it's really kept everyone on their toes a little bit here. So the 7 days turns into be a lot longer than 7 days.
Yeah, Rick, I appreciate the update. Anything else for people to they need to know for tomorrow?
No, like I said, just don't be alarmed when you see the different numbers. It's the first race on the first race is going to be the third from the other day. So keep your form and just switch down a couple races. But everything stayed the same. We did not redraw or anything like that. So 12:25 for the last two races. I think we got like three more stakes and. Let her rip. Give us a look, and be glad that you'll be down here. And I was going to shoot up tomorrow for the sale, but obviously that's not going to happen. And have fun up there, and don't raise your hand too often.
No, don't worry. But I got to make a decision about slipping out here and getting down back down there. It's 2 hours. It's an easy, really is an easy trip, you know, back and forth. So I may try to get down for the second half of the card.
We'll be ready for you.
All right. All right, Rick, I appreciate it. Away they go, everybody, and congratulations to the winners. We went through a few names, and you know, then there's also the allowance and the maiden races as well from Saturday. And able to get that Brian Lynch winner yesterday that got Lynch on the board. I had a feeling that Lynchy wasn't going to get shut out. It seems like everybody that you would expect to get a win at Kentucky Downs has been getting it. And of course, Saturday, as I mentioned, jocks and trainers. I think the first four races, only Chaminot that had two wins. Otherwise, everybody else had their broken through and gotten their first win of the meet. Maybe it was Corrales. There was one of the eight jock trainer combination. There was only one that had a win. Otherwise, the other seven out of the eight had all. Yeah, let me see here. I got it right. Yeah. Yeah, Brendan Walsh and Ashard and Paolo Lobo, they both got first wins. Raffi and Vicky Oliver got first wins. Chad Brown and May, was that Tyler's first? Could that have been Tyler's first win? No, I didn't think so. He had had a few, so I guess it was Tyler that hadn't. See about Chaminot. I'm intrigued by Chaminot. Yeah, he had one win. All right, so I guess it was six out of the eight had breakthrough wins. Rudy Brissett with that McLovin win in the allowance. Sharp and Brad Grady. Yeah. Al, that was Al's first win of the meet, right? And I had not noted that... I was so frustrated, frankly, by Red Knight's win, and I needed another mystery. I thought there was fairly late, with what, maybe 75 yards to go. I thought he was mowing him down, and he just had to settle. He settled for third. All right, thanks to Hammer for the update. I didn't want that to slip through the cracks. All right. We're kind of watching for Tony Lacey here to kind of close out the last portion, but got about 20 minutes. And I will do a couple of things, actually, while we keep an eye out. Tomorrow, speaking of racing, now, of course, we've got the Kentucky Downs card, a nice nine race card too. It's not like it's not like it's just four or five races. It's a complete card, and then we'll get ready for Wednesday too. Tonight we'll handicap the Wednesday card. We'll be there. But tomorrow, don't forget, it's Prince of Wales Day at Fort Erie. I don't know how that works. Do we now? The Prince of Wales is now the king, right? So we're going to have a Prince of Wales on the border at Fort Erie. The Prince of Wales, you got a seven-horse field tomorrow, 5:35 post. And I will openly be rooting, I think, for Declan Carroll. Hard not to. Deck is riding, of course, for Mark Cassie and Hestie Sport on Surf for Sure. And he's making his dirt debut. He's a Sligo Bay out of a My Way Only mare. But they've made him the 7-5 favorite. out of the third place finish in the Queen's Plate. And of course, Moira, as you heard a couple of weeks ago, was going to bypass the opportunity to press forward on the Canadian Triple Crown Trail. But the plate trial winner, Sir For Sure, and seems like a very deserving favorite here. So this would certainly be the biggest win, potentially, of Declan Carroll's riding career. And certainly happy for him to have the opportunity. Ironstone in here, too. And Ironstone is 8-5 with Kaz Kimura for WV Armata. This is a Mr. Speaker to Cuesta Racing and partners. Ironstone was fourth in the plate, about a length and a half behind Sir For Sure. And last win actually came as a two-year-old in the Clarendon. But he's a horse, actually, Ironstone, that consistently hits boards. Has actually 8-10. And even when he's not hitting a board, he collects a check. He's got a fourth and a fifth to go with his two wins, 3 seconds, and 3/3. Your third choice, Duke of Love, Josie Carroll. For my racehorse, this is a Timonium purchase from last year, a Cupid out of a Smart Strike mare, and also a plate graduate, came out midfield, beaten 16, Duke of Love, started the year actually in May, so was kind of delayed getting going, had broken the maiden at First Asking in November, but then didn't start the three-year-old year until May. Has been competitive. Justin Stein aboard for Josie and my racehorse. $85,000 Timonium two-year-old. And then Fast Feet for Gary Barber and Mark. This is an Ontario-bred homebred for Gary. Tourist, and obviously utilizing a tourist season. Out of the Fleet Alex Mayer Conquest Fleet Feet. Come say hello. Look at, I haven't seen you in forever. Gary Contessa wandering for terrific. Here, grab the mic for a second. Okay. I want to hear about the client and you're down in Delaware. It seemed like you're having a good summer. And tell us about this couple that you're working for.
Yeah, I work for Nick and Delora Beaver, and it's Belle Gable Stable.
Belle Gable.
And he wanted a private trainer. And it's been great. I mean, first year they won their first couple stake races of their career, and this year they're on their way to being leading owner at Delaware again. And
it's great.
And it's a very relaxing job for me. You know, coming out of New York,
high pressure,
the craziness of New York, and training in a track like Delaware is like a breeze. You know, I get to be a horse trainer. I get to stay there all day, graze horses, lots of grass. We have a European turf gallop at Delaware, which probably most people don't even know exists.
Yep.
And so we can really change it up. We can take horses on trail rides through there, and it's just a beautiful place to be. Oh,
big time. Fabulous, fabulous spread. And I know from my association with Country Life, I know that they raise –
They have our brood mares.
Yeah, they got the mares there.
Yeah, and we breed to mostly Country Life stallions, but I've kind of spread that out a little bit. I'm trying to get them a few New York breds. We bred to Central Banker a couple mares this year, and we're just trying to change it up just a little bit. But our roots, the roots are Maryland roots, and we're going to continue that trend. But we are going to change it up a little bit and try and maybe come up with a New York stable sooner or later.
There you go. And, of course, take advantage of Delaware certification and all the benefits of the regional program.
We Delaware cert everything, and it's a 50% bonus. So it's a good deal.
No doubt about it.
Not quite as lucrative as the New York program, but you know what? It's very close, and it's moving forward. board.
You fold in the Maryland program. Maybe you send down to Virginia for 6 months and get Virginia certifications as well. I mean, you can pile. We've talked about this. You can stack. You can't stack corticosteroids, but you can stack breeding program bonuses.
Right. You can. And, you know, and I needed a little politics because I'm from New York. So I just got voted onto the board of directors of the Horsemen's Association. So I spent 10 years with the New York Thoroughbred Horsemen.
Sure, working with Rick.
I think it'll be fun to be part of the Delaware Horsemen's Association.
Well, that's great. Well, that's terrific. I should ask, too, because here we are at Keeneland, and you've always had a good eye for a young horse. That's always been one of your hallmarks.
And I'm here for Lee Pecoik. He's still my client. You know him well, Steve. Yep. And we're here to buy a couple really well-bred, really well-balanced
mares.
Fillies.
Fillies, yeah,
and,
always.
You know, and that helps the broodmare band later on. There's always the price that they're worth for their ovaries. You know, they never don't have a place to go after racing.
Exactly.
So it's a really good program. We try and pinhook them all, but whatever we can't. I mean, look at Sipican Harbor.
Yep.
We won a grade one with her.
She did.
Only because she didn't bring what we wanted for her as a pinhook. We tried to sell her as a two-year-old in training. I paid $250 for her. I couldn't get $100 for her as a two-year-old in training. And we wind up winning a grade
spin
one.
Away. It's funny because that, of course, I've had this conversation with Nick Zito at the end of the meet. You know, Nick had so much success with Bob LaPenta with the ones that came home, the ones that didn't get sold. And then Nick trained on with them. And, of course, Bob back with Nick, actually, which is a nice story. But it's so funny how often that happens.
It does. And you would be amazed if you looked at the Lee Pecoik success in the breeding shed.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
class
so
of 63.
Hard. It's so hard to come up. Yeah, class of 63, now Sipican Harbor. Her baby sold for $750,000 as a weanling the other day. She, you know, it's just the success on the breeding side with horses that may or may not have been great racehorses is tremendous because we buy pedigree, and the pedigree is always there.
Exactly. That's value. It's just implicit.
Yeah.
Immediately.
As a matter of fact, I'm on my way to pick up Lee at the hotel right now. Yeah. And we vetted a couple Tappets today and an Omaha Beach, and we'll see how it goes.
I was going to ask you, among the first crops, who's caught your eye?
I've really liked the Audibles. I've liked Omaha Beach a lot. So right now we're zeroing in on those two. And there's a couple other really good sires, up-and-coming sires, a couple of Sons of Into Mischief out there. And I think as the sale goes on, we're going to see some really good first-year stallions in the later books as well.
Well, that's where it gets a lot of fun. I mean, and the bargain shopping starts, and McPeak always talks about it. Cassie, another one that loves to hang around here till the last horse goes through this ring.
Give me book 5 and 6.
That's
right.
Have a field
day. I've done that for many, many years, and there's a lot of bargains. You just got to find them.
Before I let you go, how's your wife? Like I know she's been...
My wife, Jennifer. Yeah. She's battling chronic Lyme's disease her entire life.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like MS, the symptoms. There's days where she can barely walk. There's days when she's in a lot of pain. And there's days when she's great. And we just have to get her through it.
Sorry,
you know, lots of massages, lots of, you know, she's not into like Vicodin and stuff like that. She doesn't want to take any of that. But we found a lot of natural remedies that really seems to keep her going and help her a lot.
I heard earlier, either in the spring or early summer, that she was kind of maturing a little.
Yeah, it's back and forth. We really, it's a disease that there's really no cure for.
No,
so you got to learn to live with it. So she's a tough cookie.
Well, we're thinking of her. That's why I wanted to ask.
Yeah.
It's good to see you.
Thanks. Thanks, Steve. Glad to be on. Thanks for having me on.
Not
glad to walk past.
And best of luck with Lee. Is he selling?
We're selling a practical joke filly on Thursday.
Okay, book two. Second half of book two.
With TaylorMade. Yeah, okay. In book two.
What's the hip? So, give everybody a hip number. Do you remember?
Of course I don't.
I'm sorry that I threw it at you. There you go.
Yeah, you threw it at me. Listen, I don't even know what race I'm in half the time.
What's the mayor? I'll let you thumb through. Good to see you. Good to see you here. Because this way we can.
Conversation going.
Yeah, we'll keep keep track and watch for it later. But Lee has had, you know, it's had solid success on the racetrack. But then I don't know how often I look up and I see some mare that class of 63 for whatever reason sticks in my head. She
has been such an amazing broodmare, class of 63. You know, she's grade one stakes placed, and she's grade one stakes placed because she was life and death for third against Rachel Alexandra in a four-horse field.
That's right.
That's amazing. And she's gone on to be a really, really good broodmare. Everything she throws is certainly has certainly made its mark. You know?
I've seen babies from Dubby Lovey recently too, I think, right?
Yes. Oh yeah, Dubby Lovey, Duff One, Jay Quirk,
Arch Support.
They've all gone on to be really, really good mares. So that's part of the program: getting fillies that can become good mares.
Well, we've heard this conversation from any number of quarters about even when you are claiming about Aaron Yagoda has explained this repeatedly about basically if the end of the line comes, at least you've got something.
Yes.
No matter what. And especially right now where the marketplace, I mean, we need production. In fact, on that topic, while Gary looks for the for that elusive hip of Lee's, I want to pull out the story because I did print it. Here it is. There's from over the weekend, the North American, this is from the press release that was in TDN, the North American registered thoroughbred foal crop projected to be 18,500 in 2023. That's just 200 below the estimate of 18,700 and represents a seventh year of decline. However, it does seem like things have flattened, and we've made the point that if you're going to be selling horses at these prices, that the pendulum has to swing back, and people have to either find, they're not going to go take mares that were taken out of production that weren't, that weren't producing anything that sold, and there's plenty of people, Gary, that make the point that the economic meltdown basically cleaned out some low-level mares that probably shouldn't have been having babies anyway.
Right, that's correct.
So now the opportunity here to kind of cherry pick and introduce new mares or mares that the last several years might not have necessarily you would have covered, but now the investment is worthwhile because we're selling babies at crazy prices.
And not just the baby market is booming. The purses on track have made it so owners can actually make money. You know, you can make money on the breeding side. You can make money on the racing side. I mean, it's made this business a lot more lucrative. There was a time when it was really hard, like Sport of Kings, because you always lost money. But now you can actually make money if you play it the right way. And it's been very lucrative for quite a few people. And it's a good business now. It really is. The model, and it just keeps going forward.
Exactly. And we've had the discussion with Sid Fernando and explained the approach of the Baffert clients, that are looking to make sires. You now have got this BSW, the Elite Group, Liz Crow and Brad Weisbord that have put together, same thing, a kind of a stallion eye concept,
right?
As well. But I've had the conversation with Aaron Wellman, who go the exact opposite direction. They want fillies, and they're going to campaign fillies and mares, and they're going to acquire the top-level ones for a little less than what they're paying for the boys.
Right.
And then when they get the right ones, and boy, they've had a parade of them, they get either sold, whether you're Japanese buy them or whatever, but they're taking a different and equally successful approach.
It is, because when you breed, you don't know what's going to come.
No.
You don't know what's going to come out. But so that's another very successful approach. High pedigree, high priced mares, get them to the races. Get some black type on them, get lots of black type on them. And you're right, Aaron Wellman and Eclipse has shown the way on that. They have a very good eye for a horse. And then when you run them through as a broodmare or broodmare prospect, they get paid again.
The other thing about now with fillies and what one change in the landscape, we discussed this with Boyd Browning, and when it came time to talk about the digital sale. Now, if you have a horse, whatever time of year goes wrong and career ends, you don't necessarily have to sit on them for 8 months, seven
right.
months. There's a potential digital sale within probably 60 days that you get them off the books.
That's right.
Through that process.
And they're becoming, like, I kind of wrote it off at first. I didn't think it was going to happen, but it's actually becoming popular, and they're spending good money for these horses, which is great.
Well, and people that want to liquidate, frankly, the dispersals.
Right.
That's an avenue for them instead of having to wait all the way till next January
right.
or February or whatever. You have to keep your finger on the pulse because it's changing on a constant basis.
The model changes constantly
yeah.
for the better. For the better. I mean, the sales companies have figured out how to make it work, and it's working really well right now.
Well, and you're working for Belglade and Wish and for Lee. Best of luck this week. It's good to see you.
Thanks.
I haven't seen you in ages.
Now I'll tell you about the horse I'm selling.
Which one?
It's a practical joke filly for Lee, hip number 909 out of Becky's Best. I bought her. We go to the November sale every year, and we buy two or three weanlings to resell as yearlings. This one we bought for $130,000 in Keeneland, November.
Okay.
And she's coming back through as a two-year-old. Now, as a yearling. Now, that's not where it ends. If we're going to set a fair price for her.
Right.
If we don't get it, we're going to take her
training.
And train her
sure.
and sell her as a two-year-old in training. And we've had tremendous success at that, too. We had a filly. We had Merneith. Who
oh,
Bob
yeah,
Baffert
sure,
bought.
Of course.
We couldn't sell it. I paid $300,000 for it as a weanling. We took it to Saratoga as a yearling. We had practically no bid. She didn't graze 100. We trained her. We took it to the two-year-old sale, $600,000. So it's, there's lots of options for a horse
There's many ways to skin a cat, and I was about to ask you about who would do it, and it's going to make us both sad. Because I haven't talked to you, but our mutual friend would have been training them, Kenny Lejeune.
Right. And Kenny was a great guy. I say is because he's still with
it's
me every day.
Toughest.
But what
so
a
tough.
Great, great guy. Now Nick DeMerrick gets
okay.
all of Lee's horses, and he's had great success for Lee. And Kenny Lejeune, rest in peace. He was a good, good guy. Ex-jockey. Broke horses, tell it to you straight every single time. Good friend.
Every time I'd go visit something we had down there, there'd be
right.
either ones of yours that were on their way up or ones that were turned out for the winter.
And interestingly, he bought a Lauban colt in the weanling sale. And the day he died, that Lauban colt went through the yearling sale and brought $150,000. I mean, it was like his legacy. It's like they knew Kenny passed, and boy, the horse sold fantastic.
Good, good horseman.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Gary Contessa, everybody.
Thanks for having me.
Terrific to see you. Too funny. That's what's great about being here. You can just slap them on, and we'll watch for hip 909. Best to Lee and Kathy and to Jennifer.
All right. Thank you, Steve.
Gary Contessa. There you go. That takes us up to the top of the hour, and we'll do this all again tomorrow. This was 3 hours like a rocket sled that we went through. We got about a minute and a half that I can slip in a couple of the things from over the weekend. And Bob Baffert just got here and tried to catch him, but he was heading down the hill to look at babies. Certainly yesterday, if you saw Cave Rock, that was impressive. And I don't know if let me see if the number's up. It might be. I'm curious. what he followed up the triple digit with. 98, very respectable. I thought the Jeff Mullins winner too. Paxawala, the creative cause. That's a nice stake win in the juvenile turf for Jeff. We'll get the rest of the results. We'll feather them in tomorrow when we're back here at Keeneland. Sale starts in an hour. Thanks to the Greens, John and Len, and Buff Bradley, of course, Scott Hazleton, Gary Just Now, Nicole Russo, Al Stahl. Thanks, everybody. Replay 6 to 9 here, Sirius XM, and then we'll pick it up and do another 3 hours from the Keeneland sale. Archive podcast later on the website, too. Thanks. Good luck if you're playing today. Talk to you in the morning.
With Steve Beck on Sirius XM Radio. Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet into equine health and safety. And we endorse the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.
The Southern California Thoroughbred Racing Circuit returns to Los Alamitos with opening day set for Friday, September 16th. Four stakes races highlight the meet led by the Los Alamitos Special on Saturday, September 24th. The meet will feature stakes every Saturday and Sunday afternoon. And racing fans, the meet will also feature an on-track live money handicapping contest on Saturday, September 24th. You could win a berth to the 2022 NHC. And racing fans, the best of night racing continues at Los Alamitos every Saturday and Sunday night. Outstanding racing action is in store this weekend with stakes trials highlighting the racing card. Plus, our nighttime $2 pick six continues to be a popular wager. If there's not a carryover going into our Sunday night program, Los Alamitos will add $10,000 to the pick six pool. That's more money for the horse players to win. The best of racing, the best of nighttime quarter horse racing, always at Los Alamitos. Remember, daytime thoroughbred racing returns on Friday, September 16th.
Racing every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 1:45.
Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Ponds family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the foaling barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.